Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's like quality of sleep, or am I going to get attacked by a man that's in my room? I'm like, which do I want?
God, I really fucked this up.
And then last year, I had a failed marriage.
So many of my friendships were like Oh my God, I was going to say circumcised, but I meant circumstantial. Hello and welcome to Loose Lips. I'm Robin Richford.
And I'm Sophie Brown.
And welcome back. Each week we're going to be tackling a new topic and getting our teeth into some interesting dilemmas.
Very interesting. And as always, please send them in. Dilemmas, questions, whatever is on your mind to at the Loose Lips podcast on Instagram or looselips@createproductions.com.
Yeah, and we did try our very first hand last week, didn't we, at being Agni Ants. I thought it was quite fun.
I loved it. Like I said, unsolicited advice. I love to give it. Don't like to receive it.
No one does though, do they?
No.
But we will help you, I promise. I promise we've got the goods. So what's life been like, Sophie? You're down in London. Welcome to the big smoke.
I know. I do enjoy coming to London. I don't come down here as much as I probably would like to or should. And I feel like because of that, I don't know where anything is. Like, I know the gist of things. And if I've stayed in an area multiple times, I kind of get a vibe for that.
Yeah.
But I generally pick like a hotel near to whatever, you know, I'm doing. And uh-huh. Who knows where that could be. So I walked out of my hotel this morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I arrived at night, so I didn't know where I was before. And then I turned around and there was like a Jack the Ripper tour starts here. And then I walked further down the street and it was Jack the Tripper, like a fish and chip shop.
Oh, no.
So I was like, and it's Whitechapel. I didn't know it was in Whitechapel, but I was like, brilliant. So this is where I'm staying.
Great news. At least you didn't die last night. I'm glad to see you're here.
I know. Well, funnily enough, I did actually lie there in bed and got a bit scared in the dark. I thought, what is wrong with me?
Oh my gosh. Do you know what? This is a not so fun fact. I am so scared of the dark.
Are you?
Yeah, like actually just last night I was legging it. So like I like, do you do this? I turned, basically it was, I got up for a wee in the night and everything was dark. And then I went out, turned the hallway light on, didn't want to wake my partner. So I just turned the hallway one on. And then I went for a wee and I came back and I was like, oh no, I need to turn this whole light off. But like, it's now dark in the bedroom. And I'm like, so I legged it. I legged it down the hall. So I turn off the light, I leg it down the hall, I run in. He's like, what are you doing? Then I stubbed my toe. It was just a whole thing.
It has to be done. No, I underplayed that. Yeah, I'm massively afraid.
Are you?
Yeah. I just it's such a thing. I'll wear a sleep mask because it helps me sleep because my sleep is really rubbish as well. Like last night, I'll lift it off. Like every 20 seconds, check, there's no one in the room.
No. Do you know what? You're braver than me. That is why I cannot sleep with those eye masks. There's just no way. There's no way. I'd be terrified someone's coming to get me.
It's like quality of sleep, or am I going to get attacked by a man that's in my room? I'm like, which do I want? But yeah, no, it's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. And you know, I once got told this ghost story about someone that basically had their hand hanging off the bed and they thought their cat was like licking their fingers. And it was a person.
A real person?
No, as to whether that story is true or not, I don't know. But honestly, since I've heard it about 5 years ago, I never have my hands hanging off the side of the bed.
No, never again. I'm traumatized.
Someone's just having a little lick. Okay. Shall we jump into the episode?
Yes, let's.
Okay, today we're going to be chatting about failures. Failures, Sophie. I feel like this is something that actually I've become more aware of the older I've got. Like, what is a failure? Do we fail? And is there like a beauty in failure? And in failing. Is that how you say it? Yeah, I'm saying it right.
Failing.
Yeah. Did I say it funny?
I think that's just your accent.
Just say everything funny. But is there like a beauty in failing? And like, how do you know you've failed? So many questions.
So many questions. We started talking about this and there's so many different ways you can go. Because I was saying it's very difficult for me to pinpoint moments in my life and I go and fully say I failed. Because I feel like there's times where perhaps in the moment I would have thought, oh my gosh, I think I fucked up here. But then actually looking back, I have a whole different perspective on it. And I do generally think, I mean, I'm a very impulsive person, but when it comes to decision making and quite important things, I do put a lot of thought into it.
Mm-hmm. I think as well, like just like listening to you talking about it there, like I guess sometimes even if you put a lot of thought in, like, can you still fail? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you can. Ultimately, you don't always know, and this is part of the problem. You can sit there and make a decision for days, hours, however long it is. You don't know what the consequences are going to be. And sometimes it's one of those things where you just genuinely don't know what the outcome could be.
No, and I also think as well, it's like how do you even like judge whether it's a failure? Because sometimes I think a failure is like in your mindset. Like sometimes, you know, when other people have thought I've failed, I absolutely don't feel like I have. Mm. Or the opposite, where I feel like such a failure and those around me are like, you're doing amazing. You know, and it's really interesting because I think it's actually really, I think it all comes down to your expectations of yourself, do you think?
Yes, that is so true. And I know, me personally, I have very high expectations of myself and I hold my own self I'm like, you know, I don't want to dip below that. And I make decisions based on, yeah, I guess like future me and mm-hmm. how that's going to look or how that's going to feel. But at the end of the day, it's so difficult. Life is life. Anything can happen. And even if you think you're making the right decision at the time, it can be the complete wrong one.
Yeah, so that's so true. And also as well, is there such a thing as the wrong one? I mean, I am so like philosophical today. It's the mood I'm in.
I mean, see, no, that's so true. I personally, for me, I'd say there's two times in my life where perhaps I would have been considered a failure or labeled as that by other people. Mm-hmm. I dropped out of uni when I was 19. And then last year, I had a failed marriage, technically. And I even say that, you know, I even joke, or, you know, my marriage failed. Whereas in my head, I don't see it as a failure. I think that's more of just a word that it's labelled as. And I certainly don't see my decision to leave university as a failure.
So how long were you there for? I'll decide if it's a failure. No, I'm joking.
No, 3 months.
3 months? Okay. Not really a failure then, is it?
I say 3 months with university. It's like half the year, that, really. In September to Christmas and then over Christmas. I decided to just leave.
What made you make that decision, do you think?
It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. In the way of, I was a bit silly. Thinking back, in sick form, it was either, you know, you write your personal statement and you go to university or we're not going to help you at all.
Yes.
And it was one or the other. You know, if you want to do something creative, no chance, you know, you've got to go to university. And that was the path that I kind of thought that I should go on. Everyone around me was doing that. My ex-partner at the time was at university in Cardiff having the best time of his life, and I was like, yes, picked Bristol because it was close enough from Cheltenham. I thought, I'm far away enough from my parents, but I can go home if I need to.
Yeah.
Didn't read the business management. I didn't read it at all, and I just went for it. Really, I maybe should have taken a year out or a bit of time to think about it.
Yeah.
But it just, I did, I lived with people that were not, I didn't really get on with the people that I lived with, but that wasn't the only reason.
No.
I could have got through that 100%, but I was going to lectures and I just wasn't enjoying it, or I wasn't going and I was going to go see my ex in Cardiff all the time. So.
But I feel like that's a common thread. Now, I actually didn't go to like typical university.
Ah.
I went to like a performing arts school, like a vocational school. And I moved down here for that. And actually, I remember so clearly the day that I said to my, you know, my parents, like, oh, I'm not going to go to university. And I guess in a way, like, I don't actually know, I need to ask them, but if they ever thought that was a failure at the time, because I was very academic and I was mostly academic because, you know, they really pushed academics on me. So it was like maths, physics was my thing. I'm dyslexic, so English I was so bad at, which you've just discovered. I was trying to Google something. She's like, you know, you're saying it right, but not actually typing it right.
It makes sense now, yeah.
So I was like, I guess in that sense, I do ever wonder if other people thought that I had failed by being like, no, actually, this isn't for me. I remember turning around and be like, you know what? I think it was actually business that I was going to go do, and I got into university, and it's quite a top one in Scotland, and I think I wanted to do like a bit of like physics on the side or something. It was very academic. Wow. And I got in and turned around and be like, you know what, I think I'm going to go to dance college. And my parents like, no, you're not. You know, like that's not happening. And I do sometimes think when it comes to like quitting or failing, whatever that even means, sometimes you kind of know in your gut, like, actually, this isn't a failure.
Yeah.
And if other people think it is, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't even know. Maybe they didn't think that, but I'm pretty sure they weren't thrilled about it at first.
I mean, I'm sure they didn't. They were probably more, I feel like, I was lucky with the way my parents didn't go to university, had very different lives, different industries. My mum was very creative, kind of in the entertainment world, and my dad worked for himself. Mm-hmm. So I didn't come from an academic family in the way of university. So they weren't bothered by that. Mm-hmm. And I think they trusted me, which I'm lucky. They do trust my decisions.
Yeah.
But I think my wider family that had been to university and done that thing, they were like, this is a very sudden decision that you're making. You know, why not stick it out? Well, you know, I'll be another 40 grand in debt in 3 years down the line. It's just not what I wanted. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it, when it comes to kind of failing or quitting, because I actually think there is like a beauty in failing. And I actually can only think of like one time in my life where I've gone, I feel like I've failed, but it wasn't one thing. So it wasn't like I'd kind of like gone for, you know, a job and didn't get it, or it wasn't as if I don't know, like I'd sat my, I mean, I did fail my first driving test actually, so that's a complete
same.
Lie. I have failed.
Yeah, we both failed at the same thing.
Yeah, but weirdly I didn't think it was a failure. I was like, no one passes first time.
Oh, I was quite upset actually.
Were you?
Thinking back actually, yeah. Actually, yeah, that was a fail where it really, really impacted me. Passed second time though.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, all the best drivers pass the second time.
Always.
Always. So I tell my brother anyway, because he passed first time. I was like, no, all the best drivers pass second time. But I think apart from something like that, that's obviously so obvious, like yeah, it's literally pass or fail. I don't think anything in particular, but I did get to an age not that long ago, I guess like a few years ago, where I kind of felt like I'd failed at life, which was a horrible feeling. I don't know where that had come from. I'd always kind of gone with my gut and always been really like self-assured. And I think there's this weird thing when you get to a certain age where I guess you're supposed to have had it figured out. And I think that if you feel like you've not got it figured out, and like, plot twist, no one has it figured out, but I didn't know that at the time, I kind of had this feeling of like, this overwhelming feeling of like, gosh, I've really let myself down. Like, I feel like I failed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just the worst feeling ever. And I think that, I don't know if anyone can kind of relate to that, if they've ever been there and been like, God, like, I've really fucked this up. Like, because what you don't realize is like those little decisions you're making in your day to day, and obviously those long term decisions that you make, they change the course of your life so dramatically.
Yeah.
And I guess at the time you don't see that. And sometimes you do, and sometimes, you know, you can feel the weight of that decision. But other times I don't think you do.
No, I think it's so hard as well, because like you said there, that was kind of like a culmination of how you felt. Whereas actually it wasn't an individual thing. It was more of a mental state at that time that you felt like you failed. And I think that that can be kind of how it presents itself sometimes. It's more of a feeling than, oh my gosh, I did that one thing and I did it wrong. It's more like a amalgamation of things where you're like, oh my God, it's led to this point and it's not where I wanted to be. But I feel like something that I like live by is comparison is the thief of joy. And I always think you can't ever compare yourself to other people. And also I've got friends that would, you know, think very highly of me, where in certain situations I wouldn't think highly of myself. So it's a very personal thing. And I think that you can put that pressure on yourself and be like, I've failed. Whereas actually to other people, you're absolutely killing it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, because the times that I've gone, oh my gosh, I've really failed, my friends are like, what are you talking about? Like, literally, my friends are like, you're living the life. And it's really interesting, because again, I think, like you say, it comes back to your mindset. It also comes back to like your opinion of you. And I've kind of realized that the older I've got, it's like, actually, the only opinion that actually matters is mine.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, not mine in every sense, but you know what I mean? Like, my yeah. opinion of me is the only one that actually matters, because I've been in a space where the rest of, you know, my friends and family or those around me have thought, God, you're doing amazing. And I've not felt like that.
Yeah.
And then I've realized that actually none of it means anything if I don't feel like that.
Mm.
So I guess the question is like, if you are kind of feeling like you kind of failed at something, can you turn it around? And what's the kind of best way to do that, I guess?
It's a really good point. Well, I mean, when you, I'll put it back on you, but when you were in that situation, what changed? Was it getting support from other people? Was it doing something that then made you feel less of a failure? Or what changed that mindset? Or was it just a time thing?
I think it was a combination, you know. I think it was like circumstances had changed. But I also think as well, where I saw the biggest turning point is where I decided that actually I am in control of my life.
Yeah.
And as cliche as that sounds, I kind of, you know, I'm into all the kind of like, you know, self-help and stuff like that. And sometimes they just talk about all this stuff and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, or I'm the opposite where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to change my life, you know, today, you know? And
yeah.
It's so dramatic. But I think when I actually realized that the more I kind of actually just stepped into my life and out of other people's lives, social media has such a big part to play in that.
Mm.
But I think that when I actually decided, you know what, actually I am in charge, and also situations that I, you know, felt trapped in, when I gave myself the permission to quit and I gave myself the permission to just step away, and ironically, a lot of those situations, I didn't want to quit when I actually gave myself the, I guess, the permission to do it. But when you're feeling trapped, I think sometimes you can think, oh, there's nothing else I can do.
Mm.
But I think once I started to do that, and on a total practical level, I think that was taking time for myself.
Yeah.
I think it was actually, you know, being a little bit more selfish with my time and being like, actually, I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to do it.
Mm.
I think those are kind of tips and like steps that I took that definitely brought me back to, I guess, like, living my life for me.
Yeah. I think, and you mentioned the quitting thing there. Mm. I feel like quitting is winning. I don't think quitting is necessarily ever a failure. And I think when it comes to work and things like that, knowing when to quit in itself is such a difficult thing. But for me personally, I think there's massive amount of growth that can come from leaving something behind. And like you said, when you feel trapped, I've spoken to friends that have been in jobs for such a long time. And I know it's easy for me to say, but get yourself out of there, you know, even if that means you line something else up so you're ready to go. You know, you're not going to lose out on any money or stress about something like that.
Yeah.
'Cause I appreciate that's, you know, it's a massive thing. People can't just get up and leave their jobs. And I, you know, but if you're feeling like that, there's a lot of growth that can come from quitting, massively.
I think as well, you learn to trust yourself a little bit better.
Mm.
And I think someone said something to me about, you know, you can do all this mindset work and things like that, but if you don't have evidence that has allowed yourself to have confidence in you, then it won't work. And I think it's so true, because if you think about it, like your friends and your family, like you trust them with certain things because you have evidence that they've been great in those situations.
Yeah.
So you almost have to like build like a bank of evidence. And I guess the only way to do that is to quit and to know that you can figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, you miss all the shots that you don't take, so
we've got all the quotes today.
I mean, but it is true. It's like I genuinely, it's risk versus reward. I love taking risks. I you know, and I know some people are very risk averse, and I did get married to a stranger and I did do weird things, but I just feel like it works out in the end. I mean, maybe one day it won't and I'll eat my words, but I think it's a self-confidence thing.
Mm.
And I'm not saying I've got all the self-confidence in the world. I'm not saying that, but you do start to trust your gut and believe in your own decisions because other people believe in you.
Yeah, it's so true.
Believe in yourself.
Welcome to the Train Happy podcast with me, Tally Rye. This is the podcast that helps you have a feel-good relationship with fitness, food, and body image. Each week, we'll be digging into an intuitive and inclusive approach to our health and well-being as we're joined by leading experts, friends of mine, and you to hear more about the journey of letting go of diet culture and feeling good in the skin you're in.
It's a podcast for everyone, no matter what body you're in. You can find us wherever you found this podcast. Just search Train Happy wherever you get your podcasts and hit follow.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In terms of quitting though, like on a practical level, how do you know when is the right time to quit? Because that is the golden question, I think.
Yeah, it's such a good question. I have a lot of people ask me about things like this, and I enjoy talking about it because I think it's such an important topic, because there are so many people out there that don't know when to, and they end up staying somewhere for years. And it's an awful situation to be in. But I think practically it's, I know for me personally, when my mindset shifts and I'm just not enjoying it at all anymore, any sort of passion has left the building, you know. Yeah. I think we talk about like Sunday scaries and stuff, but I've been in jobs that I've really loved and I haven't felt that, and then there's been other times where I've literally gone to bed and I've been like, oh my god, I have to get up and go to that job that I absolutely hate, or that manager that I really don't like working for. So I think it's like identifying those early signs, because they can really grow as well. And I think sometimes then you're stuck somewhere and you've been hating it for 6 months.
Yeah, and also as well, it's the fear, right? It's the fear of, I guess, quitting that sometimes keeps us as there. Mm. Or that kind of like, oh, I'll leave when I've got something else. Or, but do you ever find something else when you're kind of still in your current situation? Because I almost feel like it's not, weirdly, I don't know if it's the right mindset. If it's, you know, if you've got to the point where you're like, I'm absolutely hating this, I don't know that you can open your mind enough to find the opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. It's very hard to look for another job while you're in a job, because things like interviewing, you can't just take the time to do that.
Yeah.
Your mindset is very much, it's a difficult place to be, because you're half in one thing and you're half in another. You're like, you want to be one or the other. Practically though, things like you can put yourself on LinkedIn like open to work, and it'll hide it from your current employer, so you can sort of do things that sort of, you know, put your finger in the air and kind of like dip into seeing what's out there. And you can do, you know, if you feel that strongly about it, you will put a bit of time into it, and you will like spend an evening like brushing up on your CV or seeing what jobs are out there. But I think if you're that unhappy and it's a really bad place to be, even think about, because I would genuinely do this, like pick up a completely different job if you need to kind of things to cover bills and stuff, even a bar job or just something that will make you happier in the interim and give you a bit of time to find that next kind of step, whatever it is.
Yeah, to figure it out. I guess having a slight safety net is is the key, isn't it? Whether that's like, because also as well, you could quit relationships, right? And that could be friendships, that could be romantic partners. Like, how do you know? Friendships are so hard to navigate. I feel like that's a whole episode that we definitely need to jump into. But in terms of like, I guess, quitting a friendship, it's not always easy, is it? How do you kind of know when actually this person is maybe not actually helping me grow?
Yeah, see, that's such an interesting thing, because I've mentioned before, I'm such an all-in person, and I do it with friendships. If I meet like a new girl and I'm like, oh my god, she's amazing, and I'm like, oh, we're gonna be like best friends, and we start hanging out, and then it might just be that you don't get on with them, or that they might not like spending time with you, or whatever happens. And it's quite a sad thing to happen. It's like any relationship breaking down, like a friendship can be a really sad thing. I remember I lost a really, really close friend like that I met in Manchester, and it was really sad. It was like a relationship ending. It can be really, really, really hurtful. But knowing when to actually do that, oh, it's so hard. I think it's like, as I get older, I kind of can see it a bit more. When I was younger, I just would never even notice these things. But how someone makes you feel, and whether they're making the time for you, like if you're making the time for them all the time and you're the one reaching out to them and you don't get anything back, then, you know, perhaps they're not a person that you want to have around.
No, I think as well, like when it comes to quitting anything, so whether it's relationships, whether it's jobs, whatever it might be, I think when you get to a point where the bad outweighs the good, I think that is when you quit. I think that actually, and I guess the art form is quitting faster than that, so you don't waste your time.
That's true.
The art form that I've not quite mastered yet, I don't think. Sometimes I think I mentioned this in the last episode, but I was like a cut and run for relationships. I was so good at quitting relationships, like romantic relationships. If I knew it wasn't going to go that far, or if it came at too high of a price, you know, whether that be my time or my career or whatever it was, I was like, I'm out of here. My friends used to call me the ice queen.
Oh, see.
So bad.
I think I'm similar in that way. I think I know when to cut it with relationships, but I think friendships, I kind of, because it's, you know, you want to have great people in your life. And sometimes when you meet people, you think, oh, but actually, well, I think, don't they say that? Well, as you get older, your circle, it gets smaller and smaller. And it's good to have, you know, just a few key people in your life. But I mean, people come and go.
Yeah, they do. It's savage, but it's true. Also as well, I think so many of my friendships were like circumstantial. Oh, that's a whole different thing, a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, it's like, I can't say it now. Circumstances. There we go. Can like bring you together, right? So if you've got something in common, so perfect example, school, right? You've got school friends because you're all at school together and, you know, you're in the same vicinity. But then you get to a point where sometimes you're like, we actually have nothing in common. Yeah. Or we don't, you know, our mindsets we've just grown apart like the branches of a tree.
Yeah, that's so true. Because I think, you do. It's like with relationships, with friendships. I think as you grow up, you change and you change as a person, and you don't always align with that. As sad as it is, you know, and I think it is, you're right. It's like the bad outweighing the good. It's just so hard to know when that cusp happens.
It's so true. And I think as well, if you're kind of looking back, it's much easier to go, oh, that wasn't, a failure. And like, actually that time was well spent. Looking back, but when you're in it, it can be a bit tricky. But I think my top tip for quitting is, you know, listen to that gut, and it's there for a reason. And I actually think that there's been so many times I've ignored the gut for a very long time. Whether that be in, you know, a job, relationships, but also as well, the older you get, sometimes it can be something really small that you could actually just in that like circumstance, I can't say this word now, situation, that you can kind of like actually, you know, make it much better, and actually you don't need to quit. You know, like sometimes it's having that confidence to be like, actually, you know, this is great, but actually could we do it like this instead? And then you might find that actually in that situation you can actually just, you know, make it better. You don't need to quit. But I think deep down you always know.
I think you're right. I think listening to your gut, because you can go so far down the line with something and keep ignoring it, and then ultimately
is that you quitting the podcast, Sophie?
Yeah, this is it.
This is my letter of rig. I can't speak now.
That was it. We're done.
We're so done. Robin is quitting because I'm quitting while I'm ahead. Hopefully I'm still ahead. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully that's helped in terms of like failure and quitting. And I think quitting fast and hard and quick, get all the no's out of the way, is what I would say has helped anyway in my journey for sure. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to Of Course Loose Lips. I'm Robin Richford, and Sophie Brown as well. We are going to be back with an extra lippy episode, aren't we?
We are, yes. And please subscribe, rate, follow our Instagram at the Loose Lips Podcast, email us on looselips@createproductions.com, and as always, we need your dilemmas, your questions, whatever it may be. Please send them to us for extra lippy.
Yeah, for sure. And this podcast is so much about you. We really want to like bring you exactly what you want, so please do let us know. You can get us on our personal socials as well, which is at Robin Richford and at Sophie HL Brown. We'll be back on Tuesday next week with another episode. See you then.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.